This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, in spite of the weather and in spite of the cold, I'm still here.
Well, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, we see all these storms other places, and thank God that we are in Texas and not in, like, Boston or, you know, someplace up in the Northeast, because that is just a giant mess up there.
Those people should have left a long time ago.
Yes.
They give it back to somebody. Do we have people called snow people we could give it to?
I don't know where you find this.
There's got to be somebody. I mean, I'd be giving that place away and say, you know, I can't take this snow blizzard.
Yeah.
Every day.
It's just.
I don't know how they're surviving.
You get buried inside and you can't get your car out. And if you could, you couldn't get it on the road because it's too much snow and ice. And it's just, I couldn't do that.
It's blizzard every day. And they said the oil trucks had not been able to get to a lot of those people. Oil trucks?
Yeah.
Give me a break. They use oil, I guess, is it in a furnace? Some kind of a system.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're using oil to heat.
Really?
I guess, yeah. And they were saying these trucks were not being able to get to them.
Wow. So then,
and I go, I don't understand all that, but I assume they all have wood-burning fireplaces. And the oil goes in some kind of a system that heats the house.
I don't know. But it's ugly up there.
It is, and it's good to be a Texan every day.
Yes, it is. So even if we have a couple of days of some snow or some ice or some cold temperatures, within a few days we'll bounce back and end up with, you know, a nice day like we saw yesterday, or, you know, I think one day this week, like Monday or Tuesday, might be near 70, I think. So, yeah.
Goodness, if it gets to 70, we'll be dancing in the street.
I know. Everybody from up in the Northeast is going to want to come down here.
I know they're going to say, you mean Texas has 70 degrees? If we do, they're liable to leave home.
Yes. I
will. Well, and you know, the llamas, their water froze for the first time this year.
Really?
It got down to 17, yeah. Their little stock tank froze solid.
Oh, no.
We had to go down and take hammers to break it open.
Oh, wow.
But the waterfall on the pond was still working. Now, they could go out to the waterfall, but I was kind of afraid for them to do it. Those rocks are a little bit slippery.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have a llama in that pond at this time of year.
No.
I mean, you know.
No.
Can you imagine us down there dipping llamas out?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, it'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then the other news for the Bagbys is we have a new white baby llama.
Really?
The gorgeous thing in town. He is beautiful.
How cute.
And it was actually rolling around on the grass.
Really?
He's 2 days old.
Wow.
Has real long legs, beautiful eyes, and doesn't really look to me like he's got enough fur to get him through this thing, but maybe he does.
Wow. Now, nice and white and furry.
Oh, he is beautiful, really.
Wow.
And mother seemed real proud.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, here, look what I've done. I mean, you know.
Look what I've done.
We hadn't had a baby around here in several years.
Yeah. Well, how neat.
And, it's a neat, and my grandchildren are going to go crazy as soon as they see it.
Oh, they haven't seen it yet?
They haven't seen it yet. It was just born, and we thought we'd give them a few days, you know, and then they'll converge on it.
Yeah.
And on the mother.
Yes.
And mother have to show it off to them. I mean, you know. Oh, man.
Oh, how cute. You know, the newborn animals like that are so cute.
They are. They're adorable. There's nothing like newborn little animals.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind it is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll...
Neat.
We'll be taking pictures.
Well, good. I can't wait to see some of those.
Yeah, we'll send pictures out of this baby llama that is so adorable.
Excellent. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, we better give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, you can always go to AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies from past investments to see real hardcore numbers of what people are making. You can see testimonials of people, you know, read up about, you know, what the experience is like and things like that. And this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And it's my understanding that you had just gotten some really good news that you had another late year 11th hour policy that had retired.
Barry Kaplan, who we had bought his policy in August. He had progressive leukemia. He was diagnosed in August of 16. It was a 6-month policy, and of course he died on December 30th, and it paid 9%.
Really?
So, yeah, 9% for 5 months. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. So we were really proud of it, and we looked up some more information about him. You know, they never give you what he does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a plastic surgeon.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Barry Kaplan, a plastic surgeon from Florida.
Wow.
And, you know, he was a young guy, and that leukemia got him. You know, usually with leukemia, you'll live several years.
Yeah.
But I guess his was pretty bad when they found it, and he just didn't live long.
Wow, that must have been really super aggressive.
It was, and it was a $1 million policy. So in about 6 to 8 weeks, everybody's going to get their money out of that.
Wow, how fantastic. What a great way to wrap up the year.
It was a good way. So instead of having 3 in December, that brings it up to 4.
Wow. So what?
Yeah, 4 for December.
What? It seems like that 2017, and I know we talked about it for several months, but it seems like 2017 was a really super big year for people to make a lot of money and you know, invest that into retirement and things like that. I don't know if you it may be too soon to have like year end numbers, but was it like almost a record breaking year last year?
Well, I felt like it was. The only difference was a lot of more small policies this year.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. You remember in 2016, we had that $14 million one and that other big one. So we had a couple of really big ones last year. But this year we had a lot of smaller ones, but we had more policies.
Okay.
Had a lot more policies mature. And so we did have a fantastic year. So the month of December, we had come to $7,050,000 in policies.
Wow.
Yes. So, and I don't know what the exact profit was. I know on the ones before that last one, it was $1,554,000 in profit. So, there was, you know, a lot more profit than $1,005,000.
Yeah,
and I don't know if we had more men than women the last 2 months. Let me look. Let's see. Oh, that's great. I cannot tell. I know Estes. We had 3 policies on him, and Knickerbocker, Clark, and Carrillo. But let's see. I think we had. And 3 of them had brain cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we had 2 with colon cancer. 1 had that tongue and esophageal cancer. And brain and pancreatic.
And those are always the types of policies that you're looking for. Those are your target policies when you're, you know, weighing which ones to bid on and buy.
Yes, they are. These are your top, really, of diseases. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were asking me about this. And another thing that we had happen this week, we know someone that has two types of cancer at one time.
Really?
And I had never heard of that. I thought if you had cancer and it gets bad, it's just one kind. But they went and got a second opinion because they found two lymph nodes that there was cancer in, and the doctors were in a state of shock, and they're trying to figure this out. So they did a biopsy of the two lymph nodes, and they said it's not the same cancer.
Really?
It's a different kind of cancer. So the man has two types of cancer, and that's just unheard of.
Is that a policy that you're bidding on, or?
No, this is one of our attorneys that we've talked about before that has cancer.
Wow, I didn't even know that was even possible.
I didn't either. I'd never heard of it. And they said the good thing about it, instead now of his cancer being stage four, since the lymph node cancer is a different kind, it's going to bring him back up to a 2 to 3, which will help him.
Oh, that's good, because always means that they have a better chance of beating it.
That's right. They've got a lot better chance of survival, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'd never heard of it happening like that, but you know, we learn something new about this every day.
Yeah.
And the better chance you've got of surviving, you know, we want to know about it.
Sure, because that affects it affects how you bid.
That's right, because, I mean, we're having so many this year that have got cancer that there is no hope for them. You know, we bid it, you know, lightly, as I say. Instead of maybe 33 months, we might have gone 30, you know, if we felt like it's not going to go as long as they say. And this happens to us a lot. The doctors will tell us, well, we think this man's going to live 2.5 years. And I look at it and say, I don't believe he can live that long. You know, it's just, I believe there's too much going on in the body.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, everybody's still making a great amount of money. Well, like all these. You know, we had a 12-month that came in. We had this one that is 5 months. We've had some 9-month ones. And all of them made, you know, a really, really good percentage.
Would you say that now that the year is wrapped up, would you say that 2017 you saw many, many more policies that came in early as opposed to either on time or even late? Was this like a big year?
Yes, it seems to me like we had an awful lot that came in early rather than just on time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we had, seems like in the last 60 days, we had maybe one or two that went over, and the rest were... you know, really short.
Yeah.
Like this 12-month one, we did that on 6/17. Well, that guy died on 11/23.
Wow, so that's like 5 months.
Yeah. And this other one on Hamlin was 24 months, supposed to come due in 19. We did it on 6/20, and he died 11/23.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So let's see, on Estes, those were all 21 months, and we did that on 1/23/15, and he's the one that went over, and he came in at 12/17.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but there was no premium due, so the profit was all the same.
Oh, how do you not pay the premium? How was it not due?
It was one of those deals where he'd gotten a waiver because of his health.
Oh.
If you get a waiver, you don't pay any premiums.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, yeah, you can get a waiver.
Oh, wow.
And he had that waiver on there in case he ever got sick, and he wasn't dead, but, you know, he wouldn't have to pay premiums.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then we had, as I said, we had Mr. Knickerbocker. It was an 18-month policy. We did it on 9/8. And he died on 12/17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3 months.
That is super.
And then you had, yeah. And then Mr. Clark, it was 24 months. We did it on 4/17, and he died 12/17. a little over seven months.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then Carrillo was supposed to have been 6 months, and we did it in 16, 5, 12, and he died in 12, 21. So it went over just a little bit.
So was
it? It's just amazing how the year went.
When you kind of step back a little bit, is there anything that you can find between the policies that is making these come in so early?
They're sicker than what we all think. That's what it is.
Mm.
It's just real simple. You know, the doctors are saying 24 months on most of them, and you saw how many of them came in early.
Yeah.
Most of them came in real early. So you never know how fast something is spreading. You can't, if they did not operate them, they cannot tell, you know, how bad it really is. So, you know, they are coming in a lot earlier than what they think.
So when you look at these policies and you're, you know, weighing, you know, how aggressive you want to bid on them, or if you want to bid on them at all, is there anything that you're looking for in particular, or, you know, is there any kind of a takeaway from, you know, the policies that have come in early in 2017? Is there any kind of a takeaway that you can apply to the new year and, you know, policies going forward? You know, look for this or this combination, or,
well,
you know,
they're all got it in several places. A lot of them had it in had colon cancer, they had lung cancer, and bone cancer. In other words, it had already spread everywhere it was going.
Ah.
And, yeah, we had a lot of that. And we had colon cancer that spread to the liver, the lung, and the pelvic bones.
Pelvic bones, really?
Yeah, so if it's gone that far, you don't have a chance.
Wow.
And we had two leukemias that died.
Wow.
And, yeah, and this other one, you know, it was a year. And that's as far as it went. He was dead, you know, very quickly.
Now,
and
I know.
Course, by the time we got it, you know, they were saying 6 months.
Yeah.
He died in five.
Wow. That's that's aggressive. That's really aggressive.
It was very aggressive.
Now, I know a while ago we had been talking about how oral cancer, tongue cancer, and things like that had been starting to show up. Did that pattern continue? Is that still, you know, one of the things that you're looking for? Or is there not enough data to draw any conclusions? Where does that stand?
Well, we don't know about that yet because, you know, we've bought very few tongue and esophagus cancer or tongue and tonsil. You know, we've already had two people die of it, and maybe three. And so it's new to us. We've just never had anybody come to us with tongue cancer and say, you know, I'm in trouble here, and I need you to buy my policy. So we're learning a lot about it. And we learn something every day about another kind of cancer, just like finding out that a person can have more than one kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought a one kind spread everywhere, all over your body, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily true.
I never really thought about it before, but I guess, you know, you just always hear that it's one particular type and it's, you know, it's spread this far, it's this aggressive, it's this stage. Never heard, you know, multiple types of cancers in one situation before.
Well, and they are, and apparently it's becoming more prevalent. We're just now learning about it, but the doctors have known about it. But they have to test you to make sure, you know, if it's the same one, just spread everywhere, or do you have a different kind? That's what they're looking at.
Wow. And obviously, the main goal is to have, you know, somebody who's diagnosed with cancer. Well, obviously, we all want them to live because cancer is very, very devastating. It's very hard on the body, and it's also very expensive. And so when somebody is diagnosed and they need to come up with some quick money to go ahead and pay for those treatments, that's when they're in the market to sell their policy, and that's how it comes across your desk.
That's right. And, you know, what people don't realize, your regular doctor is going to recommend you to an oncologist specialist. And when they do, if you don't have the right group insurance, they say, well, how are you going to pay for this? And they want to know up front. They're honest about it. So that's when you have to, a lot of times, go and sell the policy and say, okay, here is the money. You know, we do have the money. And, you know, they're looking at $100,000, $200,000. Just to cope with it, and then you may not survive it anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to consider And people do with us every day to get that money out of their life policies.
And we should note that this is not just somebody who just wants to make some money and wants to sell their policy and they're perfectly healthy. This is not that at all. These are policies that you know are going to mature in a fairly soon amount of time.
Yes, lots of times, a lot sooner than we had thought. And as I said, we try not to do anything over 30 months. That's where our niche is. And then, of course, we don't want to do anybody that's elderly.
Yeah.
I don't want a man that says, you know, I've got Alzheimer's, will you buy my policy? I've turned him down again this week. No, we're not buying an Alzheimer's policy. You will outlive me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they live 10 to 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed me one this week. They said, now, he doesn't have but 18 months. I said, bull. That guy will live forever. I mean, you know.
Dr. Bagby is on the case.
We love 90-year-olds, but I don't want to buy their policies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've
done that.
For the first time, I think I have seen commercials come on TV in the past week or so about these companies that go ahead and they say, hey, if you want to sell your life insurance policy, you know, call us, blah, 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 toll free, yada, yada, yada. And then they show the people out, you know, vacationing, RVing all over the place. And not being if we hadn't had the conversations that we have, I would be thinking, oh, wow, how neat. But that is something very, very different than the types of policies you're buying. There's plenty of other companies and people that will buy a healthy person's life insurance policy. Yours are very specific types that you're looking for.
That's right. You know, they're middle-aged people. They're people 30 years old, which is not middle-aged, but to about 74. And we draw the line right there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you must have cancer. We're not going to buy a policy, like you say, because you're out in your boat and want to get your money out of your life insurance policy.
Yeah.
if you're not sick, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And also, it has to be urgent, you know. Mm-hmm. If it's not, you know, up to 30 months, if it's over. And there's people that are buying policies 7 to 10 years.
Really?
And I'm telling you, if it's 7 to 10 years, they might live 20 years.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with them. They just say, oh, yeah, would you buy my life policy? Yeah, we'll discount it and buy it. And we'll take the risk that in 10 years you're going to pass away and we'll get our money back. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that's not a good type of deal for an investor.
No, it's not. And our investors know that we do short-term investments. And that's why they go to us. They can get a long-term one. Mm-hmm. And but the funny thing is, those people are buying those for 10 cents on the dollar because they're 5 to 10 years. And then they're jacking the price back up and selling it to an investor.
Wow.
And they didn't pay hardly anything for it.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you're sick, you know, you're going to want some money for that policy because you've got to pay the doctors and the hospital.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not going to give those away.
So you're looking for stage 4 cancer. And the reason is, like you say, because this makes for a much better investment. The payoff is much quicker, and that allows people to go ahead and take that profit and then reinvest it into another policy, and the money keeps growing this way. And so that's how people can use these alternative investments as a great way to start saving for retirement and build their wealth so that they can go ahead and retire.
That's right. And we want everybody to be able to retire wealthy, happy, and early. Mm-hmm. And you can do it if you really work hard and reinvest, be diversified. You know, I think it's a great investment. And there's risk with it. I tell people every day, there is a risk to doing this. The biggest risk is the premium could be called on you because the policy went over. And you have to have enough money, maybe to pay premium for 2 years. Yeah. The risk was greater when we did those 90-year-olds, of course. You know, that was a great risk. It still is on those 90s.
Yeah.
But we're almost out of that. So our people now, if it goes over, it's probably going to go over like Mr. Estes did, a little while. And the people made one premium payment.
Which was how much?
And I don't even remember how much it was. But he had, I think, 2 or 3 million in policies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it wouldn't have been a lot because you had so many people in it.
Well, if somebody does have to pay a premium, it's not going to eat up your entire profit margin.
No, it won't. It may be $1,000. It might be 500 years, 700 a year. And you might have to pay it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But you know that going in. Every risk is told to you up front. The second risk is if you needed cash, it is not liquid till it matures. But you shouldn't be worried about it. If it's an IRA or a CD that you had, you weren't using that money. You weren't looking for it for an emergency.
Yeah.
Everybody with us has emergency money stashed where they could go and do something in case of an emergency and never touch their IRAs. And almost everybody has an IRA. You know, the husband has one, the wife has one, and then they usually have a joint account with us. So, you know, that happens every day.
So there's plenty of money in the places that it needs to be. There's plenty of day-to-day money. There's plenty of investment money. There's plenty of savings money. Everything is where it needs to be. So if maybe one pile of money, to put it simply, starts to run low, there's plenty of other resources around.
Right, because you diversified. You probably got 5 to 10 policies. So if a couple of them go over, it's not going to hurt you. We have a guy in Dallas. He was worried. He had 3 or 4 that went over. And I looked at his portfolio. Well, he has 10 policies.
Oh, wow.
And then I had him come into the office. I started looking. I said, well, there's Estes. You're still showing it. He said, I didn't get my email. We go back and we look. There's when the email went out. You just missed it. He had 2 more that matured. So out of the 10, you know, those 3 that he had that went over, they had all matured in November, and he didn't even realize it. So
really?
Now, this last one that matured, he's in it, and so now he doesn't have any over.
Wow.
And they were over for the last year, but now they're not over, and they're all paying off.
Wow.
So that's pretty neat.
That is cool.
So now he's down. He's only got 6 policies left because all these others are paying off. We have 15 policies right now in process of paying off and putting the money in people's accounts.
Really? 15?
Because we've had so many lately.
Wow.
Yeah. All that money is coming to them.
So while this type of investment may not be for everybody, what type of person, what type of investor are you looking for to get in this type of thing? What does it take to get accredited?
Well, if you're accredited, you either make $200,000 a year, or you have $1 million gross worth, not counting your house, because you can't count your homestead. Remember, we're in Texas, and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. But you can count your ranch, your cattle, if you've got racing boats, all kinds of things. If you have a 401k and you think you can't count it or you forgot it, yes, add that 401k in. Savings, whatever. Most of that is accountable on your financial statement.
So the whole goal is to start growing your money so that you can retire. So what would you say to somebody who doesn't fit the requirements for this exact type of investment?
Well, they can do annuities. There's other things we can put them in. The regulations are less on annuities. You don't have to have as big of a net worth. Now, you have to have a certain amount net worth versus debt. Mm-hmm. Or versus income even. And we have to add all that up. But it's not as great. You don't have to have a net worth of $1 million.
Okay. So there's something for everybody. You just have to find the right program.
That's right. And if we do somebody on annuity and they have $50,000 and that's all they've got, we're not even going to do that. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to have emergency cash money. And I don't want you to come back in 6 months and that little $50,000, you say, well, I really need to take it out. It's just silly. We're not going to go in and out with 50,000.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, and that's why our minimum is $100,000. And our little $1 million, that means you've got probably a 401k, you've got a good salary, you've got CDs probably, a savings account. You've got money in a lot of different places, you know, that you can use. And that's what we want. Someone that has a 401k or maybe own their own business here in Midland. We have a lot of people do. So they may have it all in cash. If they do, you know, it counts.
So if somebody came in say they only had $300,000 to invest, would that put them, since the minimum is $100,000, would that be enough to put them in three policies? How would something like that work?
Sure, three or four. Sometimes people say, well, I only want to do $50,000 policy. I think it's crazy because you're going to make about $7,500. But if you had 100 in that policy, and it's 20%, you made 20,000.
So the greater the investment, the greater the return.
I would rather make a little more per unit. Okay.
All right. The greater the investment, the greater the return.
That's right.
All right.
And always be diversified.
Yeah,
you've got several policies, it's going to work out.
Now, you were saying, speaking of being diversified, you were saying, you know, that this one gentleman has some that were over, and then he's got, you know, these other policies, and they're probably going to run under. So over the course of a lifetime of investing, how does it work out? How does it average, you know, with the policies that run over versus the policies that run under and some that come on time? I mean, there's got to be...
Well, we're ahead of the game. Right now, we've got more coming in early than we do late. So right now, it's working just like it ought to be.
Good, good, good. So if somebody comes to you and says, okay, I want to invest, I want to be in two policies, the first one runs over, they don't need to panic because it will average out.
That's right, it will, and most of my people know that. And someone told me the other day, he said, when I did this, he said, I figured 50% would come in early, 50% would be late. And I said, it's not that great amount that's late, but you will have some that are late.
Yeah.
So you always have to be diversified, then you don't have to worry about it.
So which one would you recommend? Because I know there's been a variety of different types of policies that have come in this year. Do you recommend like a smaller short-term policy, or do you recommend like those big ones that are maybe 24 months as opposed to maybe 12?
Well, I like 24 months, and I've got a lot of other people that do too. The reason is when a 24-month comes in 12, you know, you've really done good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've made 24% in 12 months is what it amounts to. So that's always good. Now, the short-term ones are good because you're turning your money faster. So it works out to have both. You don't have to have all of one kind, you know, all 24 or all 9 months or 12.
So do you ever find that new investors come in and they really want to swing for the fence every time? Or are they getting a little more comfortable doing those little shorter ones?
Well, I think they want both, or whatever my recommendation is usually what they do. You know, if I say, I think we should buy this one and go in strong, they're going to do it.
Okay.
Because we've been right so many times.
Excellent. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia. You always bring interesting things to the table, whether it's a thing we need to put on our bucket list, someplace to visit in Texas, some interesting fact about something or someone. What are we talking about today?
This is a place put on your bucket list. This is some place you need to go because you don't live here very long.
Yeah.
You know? So we're talking about the Big Texan Steakhouse. It's called the Big Texan Steak Ranch, but it's out in Amarillo, Texas. Okay? It used to be on old Route 66.
Ooh.
On East Amarillo Boulevard back in the 60s. Now, let me tell you how it started out. This guy went to the bank and he said, look, I want to put this restaurant in. Would you finance? The bank said, no, you don't have any history. So what he did, There used to be Amarillo Air Force Base in Amarillo, Texas, big Air Force Base. They had all these barracks that the guys stayed in. And when they closed Amarillo Air Force Base, he went out there and bought all these barracks. So the restaurant was made out of these old barracks.
Cool.
Because he didn't have any money. And so then he relocated over to Interstate 40 in 1970 after being there 10 years. And then there was a fire in 1976 and destroyed 100,000 in antiques.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, and then in 1977, he built a larger facility. It's painted a bright yellow, has blue trim, and he has a large bull out front, and it advertises a free 72-ounce steak if you can eat this 72-ounce steak, all of it. You have to be able to eat it, a baked potato, and a salad. Okay? It's free if anyone can do it in less than an hour.
Ooh.
But you've got to eat the whole thing. The 72-ounce, the baked potato, shrimp cocktail, and the salad. Now, you have to put up the $72 that it costs, and they hold it to see if you can do it. So far, in 2016, there's been 9,500 people have accomplished it.
Really?
Out of 59,000 that have tried it.
Ooh!
And one of the success stories is a young woman that weighed 115 pounds.
Really?
And she's done it twice.
Really?
Yes. And she did it in 4 minutes and 18 seconds.
4 minutes? She ate us that big, huge steak and all the stuff that goes with it in 4 minutes?
Yes. She has one of the leading records. And they've been on television. They were on the TV show Man vs. Food. That was back in the 60s. And they had a contest to see how many cowboys working in the stockyards could eat that steak. And back then, they were only giving them $5.
Oh.
And one cowboy ate 4.5 pounds of steak. And they said, whoever does that again, he's going to get it for free. And they'll cook it any way you want it, but you've got to get it done quickly. Now, Joey Chestnut, he ate his in 8 minutes, 52 seconds, breaking the record of Frank Pastore's record of 1987. He did it in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. And but in 14, little old Molly Schuyler, little old young girl, polished off the meal, as I said, in 4 minutes, 58 seconds. And she came back and ate a second one.
No.
She defeated 4 teams. Can you imagine?
How in the world? I can't get past the fact that she was 115 pounds?
Yeah.
I can't get past that, first of all. That's the first obstacle. The second one, how she did it in 4 minutes, that just blows.
We'll never know. Now then, the record for animals and humans was held by a 500-pound Siberian tiger. He ate the steak in 90 seconds in 1990.
Which is not much faster than that 100 than Molly.
Yeah. And then in the movie, Waking Up in Reno, with Billy Bob Thornton, it shows them doing the challenge. And then they were on the Travel Channel's Man vs. Food years ago. And it's known for another thing. It has its Cadillacs, white stretch limos with longhorn hood ornaments out there in the front. And they appeared in the 2006 animated film, Cars is Texas Oil Baron, Tex DeNoco.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the third episode of King of the Hill. And they called it Bobby Love. And they called it the Panhandler Steakhouse.
Really?
Yeah. And they've now built a big motel out there with it.
Really?
So they've made lots and lots of improvements.
They probably ought to build a medical facility.
I think they should. Oh, my gosh.
As
and they start serving handcrafted beer in 2011.
Ooh.
And it's got lots of names, you know. And Phillips, Texas Country Reporter, he voted the Big Texan number one steakhouse in 2013.
Really?
Yeah. Second and third places are Little Rhine Steakhouse, downtown San Antonio, along the Riverwalk, and Perenia's Ranch Steakhouse in Buffalo Gap. And they've had a lot of big steak competitions out there at Buffalo Gap, a little bitty place. And everybody says it's one of the finest steakhouses anywhere in Texas.
Really?
And you have to know where Buffalo Gap is to even find it.
Where is it?
In South Texas.
Down in South Texas someplace.
Yeah, and I've never been there. No. And I know one year I wanted to go because they were having a big deal, and I forgot what it cost. But, I think it cost $90 to get in.
Oh, wow.
And it's just kind of out in the country and all this, but this big chef that owns that, he's world-renowned.
Wow, cool.
But I'm still betting on the Big Texan, Amarillo, Texas.
Yeah.
And they've always had the Big Texan standing out front, and people coming down 66 can see him out there. And then you can see the bull. And this building is bright yellow with blue trim.
You can't miss it anywhere.
You cannot miss this thing.
I so want to try that so bad, but I'm afraid that probably after like 45 minutes of trying to shovel that in, I'd probably get so full and so sick. Whew.
Yeah, it takes somebody with really knowledge how to do that. Because if it was just a steak, 72 ounces, huge. Yeah. But then you've got to do a salad. You've got to have rolls with butter. And then you've got to have a shrimp cocktail.
Oh, man.
I mean, any of it would kill you, you know.
Yeah.
But that young lady has done it twice. Beat her own record.
I don't know how she did that.
I don't know either, because usually a small person, you wouldn't be able to eat a lot.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what to think.
And then you wonder,
I know,
you
know, she,
did she, like, starve herself for, like, a week and was really super hungry? Or, you know, because that would make your stomach shrink. I don't know. That's what I'd be betting on. Yeah.
That you'd be really hungry. And I think there's something about the bread with the butter that helps.
Yes.
I've heard somebody say that.
Really?
That butter helps your stomach.
I know it would.
It's a wonderful deal.
It would be delicious. I know that.
That's it. The steak is so good, you don't want to stop anyway.
I know it.
And you got to pay attention. I mean, if you've got just a short time to eat this, you've got to really pay attention. 4 minutes and 4 seconds?
I can't even picture it.
I can't picture a man that could even do it, much less a woman.
Oh, no. I want to see a video. I wonder if they have a video someplace.
I'll bet they have a video of all of them.
I want to watch
because
it.
Because they would want to be able to prove it up.
Yeah.
But look. 59,000 people have tried.
And only 9 have succeeded.
9,500 is all since 1960.
It's amazing.
It is.
I feel myself fixing to take a road trip to Amarillo.
You need to go to Amarillo. It's got a lot of other neat things, but this is one of the best.
Nice. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And, you know, Ivy Cottage is still selling wonderful things.
They should make you like their official spokesperson, I think.
I know, and I don't get paid.
I know.
I told him that one day. I was talking to him. I said, you know, I recommend y'all all the time because I love the store, but I said, I don't even get paid for it. And they laughed. They thought it was pretty funny.
So when we're talking about building wealth so that you can retire, this is something that takes a little bit of time. It's not like you come in and you make one investment or two investments and then you're done.
That's exactly right. If you want to retire early and wealthy, you have to keep going. In other words, every year when your policies mature, roll them over. Do it again. And, you know, it's not going to take too long, depending on how much we started with, you know, to get to the desired amount,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It depends on what you're starting with, how much people are investing, how aggressive they are with their investments, and how long they have to grow their money. So obviously, you know, if somebody comes to you and they say, I want to retire in 20 years, well, obviously that gives you a little bit more time. You can grow a little bit more. But for somebody who comes and says, I want to retire in 10 years, I would imagine you'd probably have to be a little bit more aggressive. Is that right?
You do. And I think we're aggressive on everything we do. You know, we're trying to get them enough policies that they can retire where they've got an edge on it, you know. And the other thing is, once they retire, we're not going to quit investing. We're going to keep making them money because we're going to need to. They're going to need the money. See, a lot of people just think, well, it stops when they retire with us. No. Once they retire, then we put money in the bank. They tell us how much they want, whether it's $100,000 at all times or $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is, we're going to keep that balance and then keep putting money in the bank all the time as their policies mature. So it's a good thing that this money will keep going and keep making money. They're going to need it.
So a lot of people have money to live on, and then they have a separate account that they use, and I'm not sure if I'm using the right terms here, but they have a separate amount that they take and they reinvest with that, but it doesn't touch their day-to-day living money.
No, it doesn't. And they can retire and just keep going. And most people, when they first retire, they've got a year, maybe 2 years of money that they want to go ahead and use and keep their money invested with us. So if that's the case, which most of it is, you know, we will keep rolling their money and making them money for the next years to come.
So for someone who comes to you for the first time and says, Faye, I want to retire in 10 years. I don't really know how much I need to retire. What do you say to that person?
I say, what are you taking home now? It's the first thing you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
How much are they taking home? So are they taking home $150,000? Well, then they're going to need $150,000, you know. It's not going to be one of those deals where they're going to take $50,000 home after taking $150,000. No, they're going to want the same amount of money.
Because the last thing you want to have happen is to retire and then have to start reducing your lifestyle.
You do not want to do that. It's not a pretty sight, let me tell you.
We don't
want to hear it. We don't want to be involved in the people that are having to redo their house loan. You know, that's not a good deal. If after all these years you haven't made enough money, that house is paid for. You know, that doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, you want to have everything paid for by the time you retire.
Absolutely, your cars, your house, your ranch. You know, your vacation home, everything should be.
So for the planning process, is it a good idea if somebody comes in and says, okay, I'm kind of on the edge here. I'm within, say, 3, 4, 5 years away from paying off, you know, the house. The cars are paid for, but the house, I just got a little bit left. Is it a wise idea to start investing, taking that extra money that they make off their profits and paying extra on the house to pay that off while taking another part of their profit and reinvesting it and keep growing it? Is that smart or is that too far out there?
But by the time they retire, everything's got to be paid for.
Okay.
That house has to be paid for. Most of the people, when they come to me at 50, their houses are all paid for.
All right.
I've got very few that say, Faye, I've got 3 payments left or 5. And, you know, I owe $5,000 on a house I need to get it paid for.
Okay. So,
and I always recommend that. That house, that's your biggest possession other than your 401Ks and your IRAs. So you need to get that paid for.
If somebody was in that type of a situation where they were pretty close, would it be wise to, because they say they need a little extra to make some lump payments and get ahead and pay the house off early, is it wise to use some early investment profits to go ahead and pay that off?
I would say it probably is.
Or do you want to have that done before anybody even comes talk to you?
Well, most of them do. I mean, I very seldom have to talk about a mortgage to anybody.
All right.
Most people all have that house paid for Their vacation home is paid for, everything they have. Because remember, most of the people with us are worth $1 million or more.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got everything paid for.
And they may have likely paid cash for everything to begin with anyway.
They could have, or down the road they did, because most of them, when they retire, are going to have $1 million from their employer.
Mm.
You know, a lot of them it's 500,000, but we have a lot that's $1 million.
Okay.
Or more.
All right.
And then a lot of people own their own businesses.
How does owning your own business factor in? How does that change anything? Or
they have more. They have more to invest.
Okay.
Because they've been in business 25 years. So they, you know, they started out small, but they've done real well, most of them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
So for someone who is thinking about it, they're saying, okay, I've gone long enough. I really need to start really investing. I really need to start growing my money. I really need to start planning for retirement. What kinds of things when they're evaluating? Because I know you don't want people to come in and just go, I don't know what I got. I don't know how much I need. I don't know when I want to retire. They obviously have to do some kind of planning ahead on their own. So what kinds of things should people at least be thinking about before they come see you for the first time?
They got to think about where they want to live when they retire, what year they're going to retire. That's really important. How many years do you want to work? I mean, all these are considerations. And then, how much money will I need to do these things?
Mm-hmm.
So once everybody gathers all that up, you know, we kind of know what to do.
And that gives you a decent starting point. It's like, okay, here's where you are. Here's the time frame so that you can put people on really, I guess, the right trajectory to make sure that they're making what they need to make at that steady amount to get to, say, if they want to retire in 10 years, it'll get them by the time they get to that 10-year mark, they're where they need to be financially. Is that right? Is that accurate?
That's right. Okay. And they just need to start working on it.
All right.
Don't wait till the last second and say, oh, my gosh, are we going to have enough to retire? You know?
Right. So New Year's resolutions for this year for people who are, say, maybe in their 40s or even 50s, would you say? Would one of the big New Year's resolutions be get on it, stop procrastinating, and start planning and start putting things together?
That's right. Never procrastinate. I mean, it's the worst thing a guy can do. You procrastinate sometimes way too long.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. But I think instead of procrastinating for a year or 6 months, only procrastinate for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, make up your mind. You know, if you want to come see me, talk to the wife. She'll set you straight. And come in and talk to me. Tell me what you want to accomplish. Are you going to retire in 5 years, 10 years, 7 years? And how much are we going to have in income for you to live like you are now.
Mm-hmm. So people don't need to know everything. They don't have to, you know all the exact ins and outs, but they just need to know some type of idea of what their landscape looks like right now. And then you can help plan out the rest. That's what you're here for.
That's right. I'm going to help them plan it out. But we need to know some facts, you know? What are they going to do?
All right.
So that's what we try to get done.
So are you available for appointments this coming week?
Yes, we will be talking to people this next week. And I have people that have been calling in. I've been calling them back, you know, talking to them, getting them ready for appointments.
And as far as investment opportunities coming up the next several weeks, month or two, what does that look like? Is there plenty of opportunity?
I think there will be quite a bit. We have closed a lot of policies in the last 2 weeks. This next week, we're going to be closing about $2 million.
Wow.
Dang. So we're on it. We're really on it, okay?
Okay. All right. So one last time, Faye, what is the phone number for somebody to call and make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. And right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.